The passage that was read was very short. We're still in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, which is called the faith chapter, and there are various sections of different kinds of mentionings of different people, and this is just a beautiful section that three verses about three different people, that they all had to do with the same thing, and that was that the title of this message, Faith Sees Beyond Death. All of these men were approaching the end of their life, and they had something to say that we need to look at. From early childhood, from the earliest time we can remember, we were probably learning this fact that people call the fact that tomorrow is uncertain. The future is unknown. But Christian faith changes that perception a little bit. We come with statements that say, I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We say another thing that is often said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And many of you have heard those statements. That is a little bit of the perspective that we have on the future. Well, the faith chapter uses the faith of Old Testament saints and what they believed about the future to encourage our own faith. Theirs is a little bit different than ours. You see, they had very little evidence, visible evidence, to go upon for what was in the future. All they had was what God said, what God promised. And then they took him at his word and believed him. Well, since Christ came, he gave us proof that the God's plan for the future is real, that it's really going to happen. When we think of the evidence we have now for human resurrection, we have that in Christ. His resurrection is a proof that there's the possibility of our own. God says it's a reality. Well, when you think about the earth, and there's the promise of the earth's restoration in the Old Testament. Well, when Jesus came bringing his miracles and actually undoing some of the curse temporarily, he was showing the power that is yet to come to really renew this earth and creation. And all of those things are foreshadowed in Jesus' ministry. So we have evidence, but we don't have anything different, really, than these Old Testament saints. We still have to hold on to all of these things by faith. We have to believe God's promises the way that they did. Our faith has to see beyond our death. Well, first of all, we want to look at Isaac. Isaac is the first one mentioned here. And I'll just read that verse again. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Now, that's a very simple statement. Isaac believed in God's promise to his father Abraham. That was his faith. And we know why. You know, Isaac was there when God was testing Abraham about that faith. In fact, he said to Abraham, go sacrifice your son, the son of the promise. Go sacrifice him on the mountain. And that seemed totally against to Abraham what was going on. And here Isaac, I'm supposed to be the son of promise, and you're going to put a knife through me? You're going to cut my throat for a sacrifice? Well, he knew at a personal level what that faith meant to God, what kind of faith God wanted in his believer. He saw it in his father Abraham. So when he was old and blind and near death, and this time his real death, Isaac wanted to bless his firstborn son Esau with a blessing that would be in conjunction with the promise that had been received from Abraham. And so he wanted to bless Esau, but Jacob got the blessing because he stole it from Esau. And this was the blessing that Jacob, in his vision of faith, according to what he believed and according to what he reasoned in his mind, he gave this blessing, but he did give it to Jacob instead of Esau. He meant it for Esau. May God give you of heaven's dew and of the earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. He intended that for Esau. Now, it was the right blessing, and it was the right faith. He had the right faith in the promise, and it really was on the right person, but it was not the right understanding. And immediately, when he realized what he had done, and Esau came and asked for a blessing, it says in this passage that he, by faith, blessed Esau. Now, how did he bless Esau? It says the blessing that he gave to, by faith to Esau when he realized that Jacob had tricked him is this: your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw off his yoke from your neck. Now, that doesn't sound like a very pretty or very nice or calm, relaxed, peaceful blessing, does it? It has a lot of hostility in it. It has a lot of non-blessing in it. Well, Esau had earlier sold his birthright to Jacob. Now, he just sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. His birthright to inherit the promise of Abraham, he sold for a bowl of soup. And that showed something about his belief in God's promise, his honor of God's promise, his esteem of what God said. And in Hebrews chapter 12, which we'll come to later, Esau is called a godless person who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, even though he sought it with tears. You see, Esau's faith was not really solid in God and in God's promise to Abraham. So Isaac, in the next chapter after we just read out of Genesis, Isaac in the next chapter does bless Jacob with the full promise. And this time, he blesses Jacob by faith and with his understanding. And this is the blessing he gave him. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. You know, faith is not necessarily based on understanding. And Jacob didn't have, at the beginning of getting these blessings, he didn't have the right understanding. But he had the right faith. He held on to that faith from the time he was a child. He grabbed hold of it, and he held tight onto it all of the days of his life until his death. He held on to that faith. And he saw the future more clearly as he approached death. And he got understanding that the future is not just a possibility, it is reality. And because it is reality, our understanding doesn't really matter so much, because God will bring it to that path if we have the right faith. So when he finally did bless according to his understanding that he had gained, he laid his hands on Jacob and gave him the full blessing of the future. It was a reality to come. Then we look at the next character here. We look at Jacob. We're going to look at Jacob, the deceiver. He had deceived his brother, and he had started out as a deceiver. Jacob is also, by the way, Israel. His name became Israel later. He started out as a deceiver, but he ended up suffering the deceit of other people. And despite his trials in life, Jacob held fast to God's promise all the way through his life. Now, he had been deceiving his brother, and he tried to deceive his uncle a little bit. His uncle got back at him and deceived him, and this idea of deceit came back on his own head, and he suffered for it. He was deceived by his uncle Laban. He was deceived by his own sons when they took Joseph and sold him into slavery instead of Joseph. And so he was even deceived by Joseph. When Joseph said, send him back and bring my brother Benjamin. And he didn't tell him the truth. And so he put his heart again at grief because he didn't want to see Benjamin go down into Egypt. So that was inadvertently he was deceived by Joseph. So he suffered greatly. Yet as an old man, when he had seen the blessings of God coming upon his family and Joseph bringing him down into Egypt, he was old, he was crippled by age, but he still held on firmly to God's promise. And it says in this verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And you say, well, how does this verse really show faith in the future? Well, first of all, I want to say that the early church fathers looked back into the Old Testament and they saw many things that sometimes we don't see. And one of the things they saw was that, or two of the things they saw in this verse was a prediction of the cross. And the first was this. When Israel worshipped leaning on his wooden staff, it was a representation of a trust in the fulfillment of the promise, which would really be fulfilled when one of his descendants, Christ, would also be hung on a wooden tree. That was what the early church fathers. That's a long stretch, David, but that's what they saw. They saw a lot of other things, like the tree in the Garden of Eden was a tree that was taken from to get life, and the tree that Jesus hung on was also the cross. The tree that Jesus hung on was also what gives us life. So there are a lot of things they saw like that. But this one, they say, is the first one that shows someone leaning on a wooden stick and showing forth the faith that he had, because it says he worshipped at that time. The second one is even more mysterious, but interesting. When he made the sign of the cross when he blessed those two children. Now, here's what it says. Joseph brought his sons to Abraham to have them blessed. Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Now this upset Joseph, but Israel insisted, prophetically so, he insisted that that was how they would be blessed. That was what the future held for them. And he crossed his hands to do that. He made the sign of the cross. That's what the early church fathers saw. Well, Jacob's blessing on Joseph's two sons did show this. They showed supernatural insight. The crossing of his hands, he knew. He was blind, but he knew what he was doing. He knew he was blessing them, not the way that Joseph wanted them blessed, according to understanding, but according to the reality of the future. He was given insight for that. And blind Jacob, by the sight of faith, saw the reality of the future of the next generation. Now, if the early church fathers were right, he may have seen beyond that, and he may have seen beyond to the cross itself. But regardless of that, what he did see as the future came about as history, and that's what it is now. It is history. What he saw as prophecy, what he saw as the future then, was a reality that is now a historical reality. And faith in what is not yet seen is the kind of faith that God wants us to have in the yet unfulfilled promises of God. There are yet unfulfilled promises of Christ coming back, promises that are yet unfulfilled. They are not just possibilities. They are not just probabilities. They are God's reality. And that's why our faith can hold on to them so strongly. Finally, we have Joseph here. And I'll just read that verse again too, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Now Joseph's faith was not distracted by the ups and downs of life. He had ups and downs in his life. In fact, he had downs and ups. Joseph was a dreamer whose downs came before his ups that he dreamed about, if you really want to know. And when he made a statement to his brothers who had sold him into slavery when they were in Egypt, he made a great statement of what is God's providing care, his providential care for those who are going through injustices and sufferings and hardships. And he says this statement in Genesis chapter 50. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You intended it for evil. God intended it for good. When they crucified Christ on the cross, they intended it for evil. God intended it for good. Well, Joseph saw the future in dreams. He not only saw his own future, he saw the future of other people. But we don't know through the story of Joseph what he thought about God's promise to Abraham. We don't know what his thought about that was. Until we get to the end of his life, and we have this by faith, Joseph, when he was near, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave them instructions about his bones. Now, life had been good for Joseph in Egypt, as far as fame and fortune, but as he neared death, those things were not important to him. As he neared death, the Egyptian good life became less and less valuable, and his faith in God's promise became of much greater concern. He was concerned about the people of Israel were now in Egypt. They were not in their promised land. And Joseph knew that Egypt was not the land of promise for the Israelites. He knew that the promised blessing was elsewhere, and that his faith was that there would have to be an exodus. There would have to be a time, and it was 400 years later. There would have to be a going out of God's people back to that land that they were supposed to inherit. In ups and downs, Egyptian life was an up for Joseph. In fact, he lived most of his life in a wonderful way. Second in command, next to Pharaoh, over all of Egypt, in wealth and in fame and everything. He had it all. He had the good life, you would say. But that's not where his heart was. As he ended his life, he really thought that the instructions he would give are not about, now I want to give my inheritance to thee, my sons, and what is happening in Egypt. That was not his concern. I want to tell you what's going to happen in the future. You're going to go out of this land back into your own land. And when you do, don't leave me here. Take my bones, take my mummy. Take my bones and take them back and bury them in the land of promise. In the land of promise, where the promise of God would be fulfilled. Christian faith treats God's promises, treats God's future, not as a possibility or a probability, but as a reality. That's what Christian faith holds on to. You know, Terry was mentioning something about a chair. It seems to be a strong thing. It lasts, doesn't it? No. These chairs all break down and they finally get thrown away. Wooden chairs finally come loose or they get burned. And the idea of a chair, that which is intangible but we bring it into existence by building it, the idea is more lasting than the chair itself. These things in life that we see, they are temporary. Even our own bodies, in the shape that they're in, is temporary. God has a reality that will last for eternity. When all of this dissipates, when all of this decays, when all of it falls apart, God has a reality in the future for his people. These men, near the end of life's journey. And as they did, their faith in the fulfillment of God's promise became more real and more important. I think that is the way it is for us. And if that's the case, then we might say, well, we welcome the change of age. Aging is always looked down upon as bad, but if it's going to help me have a better spiritual life and a better spiritual viewpoint, then praise God. Welcome. Welcome, age. Come on. Bring me closer, if we can, if we have the right perspective. Not all of people see the future that way. Not all of people have the hope that Christ bought us on the cross. He bought on the cross pardon for sin, and he bought salvation from sin's destruction. But those are negative blessings if you think about it. What are the positive blessings? God, through his death on the cross, and Christ's death on the cross, bought back the earth that was cursed and which is in decay right now. And he bought back our human destiny in the universe. Human destiny. He bought it back, which was lost through the fall. That's the future. And that's a reality that will make this life, in retrospect, look like a dream. They'll say, maybe some people will say it was a nightmare. But they'll say, it was just so dreamy down there because it wasn't lasting. Everything changed all the time. From the time we were babies until the time we were old, everything seemed to change. Nothing was permanent. Everything seemed to change. Situations changed. Possessions changed. Finances changed. My body changed. My abilities changed. My memory changed. Everything changed. But now, what we have is solid. That perspective is the reality that you in faith hold on to right now, just as these three men did, holding on to God's promise. The joy of the gospel, the joy of the gospel, is that we will awaken from our dreamy life, and we can awaken from it now and hold on to reality now, while this dreamy life passes away. We hold on to it through God's Son. He holds the key to the future. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for these three men and their testimony at the end of their lives. Lord, may this be the testimony at the end of each one of our lives, holding on to your reality, your future for us, more strongly than we hold on to anything else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.